around, isn't he? Oh, well, I'll let Johnny take over. Right, everyone all right? What the hell was that? Everyone all right? That's more like it. Right. Good morning. My name's Johnny. By day, I work at Canonical as the Ubuntu Community Manager. By night, I fight crime. Is it? Really? Yeah. Very big boost to fill. Yeah, so I'm here to talk about Jacosha. Is anyone here familiar with Jacosha?
I ran it once.
You ran it once? Let me guess, it didn't work.
Yeah, it kind of worked.
Did you manage to record anything?
No.
Yep, that's what we like.
It was a while ago,
okay. Well, Jacosha, what I'm here to talk about is the story behind Jacosha, which I think in many ways more interesting than Jacosha itself, the way that it's kind of come about. Did you get up? Okay. Jacosha itself has had a different development kind of routine than most applications. Most applications, people think, I'd like to write this, they write some code, they develop their interface and everything around it. And Jacosha's been quite different. So when I was about 10, I started getting interested in music. I started learning guitar. I was interested in playing Iron Maiden. I stood in front of my mirror, pretending to be Iron Maiden and looking like a bit of a dick. Back then, I wanted to record stuff. And to record stuff, I got one of these. Okay? Not this model. This is a modern cassette player. Okay? And this was easy. You know, if you wanted to record something, you press record and play at the same time, and bam, you were recording. Excellent. Now, this was limited because you could only record one thing at a time. So if you wanted to record a song, you had to be in a band. To be in a band, you had to have friends. So this was a bit limiting, so I could play my guitar. Now, I said to my mum and dad, you know, I'd like to play like lots of instruments at the same time. And my dad, who knew a bit about music, said, you want to get one of these. This is called a multi-tracker. And you plug your guitar in and you can record one track, and then you can record another track, and it doesn't delete the first one. So you can record a backing thing and then record something on top of it. So you can do solos and stuff. So that gave me the ability to indulge in threat masturbation, which was good. Now, I used this for years. And this is brilliant. It was really easy to use. Because when I make music, I don't care about machinery and technology. I just want to make music. And I had a computer, and it was quite powerful. I was thinking, you know, I was getting into Linux, and I was thinking, I'd like to use something on a computer to record. Now, if you wanted to record something in Linux, you have to use this. Now, I'll ignore that. This is Ardour, and where's the Ardour guy? There he is. Okay? So, just ignore the next three slides, okay? Ardour's brilliant. Ardour's a multi-tracker, but it's really designed in many ways for sound engineers. It's a very, very detailed, complex tool. And it wasn't suitable for me. First of all, there's too many controls. There's 1,001 things up there that confuse the hell out of me. I don't even know what half of these buttons, I don't know what these things are for, you know? Or I know that that's probably a VU meter and whatnot. That was the first thing. The second thing is it's ugly. It's ugly. And there's too much there. It doesn't look very attractive. And I like a nice integrated desktop. It sits, it's like someone dropped a turd on a diamond necklace. You know? It sits on top of my desktop and doesn't really fit into it. And the other thing is that you use something called Jack. And Jack is a framework for creating applications that can work together. And Jack's very good, but Jack's a bit complex to kind of set up. And it's really designed for professional audio. So you need to poke with it before you can really get it working in distributions and things like that. So this wasn't really suitable for me. So I did being a free software advocate, I decided to use Cubase on Windows. You know, natural choice. Cubase is not by no means perfect, but it's fairly intuitive to use. It still requires a lot of poking around, but it's generally not too bad. So I started using Cubase, and Cubase pretty much worked for me. Okay? Now, around this time, we set up a show called Lug Radio. Anyone listen to Lug Radio? Yeah, excellent. This is the Lug Radio team in my old studio, which is a little bedroom. Obviously, you've got the most handsome guy at the front here. the balls at the back, there's Matt Revell and Stuart Langridge, who's known as Ack, who's the most angry man in the world at the side. The angry inch. That's Matt. Angry half inch. So we started recording Lug Radio. Now, when you record a podcast, we were quite successful, but that sounds really, really vain. But we've done quite well with Lug Radio. A lot of people listen to the show. We've got about 15,000-20,000 people listening to each show. This is some of them. These people came to Lug Radio Live the first year, and Lug Radio Live last year was much bigger. And these people weren't very happy that I was using Cubase. You record a free and open source podcast. How dare you record it in Windows? So, you know, valid point. And yeah, they weren't particularly happy. And essentially, I had three options. Number one, stick with... Are you on commission? Number one, we can stick with Cubase. Life remains largely all right. I feel a bit guilty, but life remains largely all right. Number two, turn to alcohol. On number three, no Lug Radio. Amazingly, can you guess which one I picked? Check it out. I picked Cubase. Cubase was the one that kind of made the most sense to me. Now, these people weren't very happy about that. This guy in particular wasn't very happy about this. And they were complaining. They were saying, you know, they'd ask why I wasn't using Linux and all the rest of it, and I'd give the reasons, and they'd ask again, and I'd give the same reasons, and I wrote a FAQ because this was getting repeatedly asked. And one guy said to me, you've told us all the reasons why you don't want to use Linux for multi-tracking, but you haven't told us what you would build if you were to build the perfect audio editor. So I sat down and thought of what I'd want. And these are the kind of requirements. First of all, non-destructive editing. This is when you record a piece of music and you edit it, you chop it into bits. It shouldn't screw up the original audio. It shouldn't edit the original audio. It should all be done on the fly. So non-destructive audio editing. Support for audio plugins, effects, that kind of stuff. Sensible wave editing. Editing stuff is so complicated in most audio editors, and every audio editor on any operating system is guilty here. It's extremely unintuitive in many situations. Support MP3, OGG, and WAV. Those are the three things I care about. I don't really care about Sun Audio. You know, I'm not really that bothered about FLAC. You know, these are the three things I personally cared about. Multi-input card support. Most of you probably got normal sound cards where you've got one input, maybe a line in and a mic. But when you step up to the next level, you have lots of inputs. So you might have four inputs and four outputs. And these cards are generally supported by Alta, and I'd like my multi-tracker to kind of support these as well. So that was the other thing. And these are the two things that really interested me in many ways. All this is, to me, a given. This is what should be expected. It should fit into my desktop and be simple to use. And this is the inspiration behind building Jacosha, is making something that musicians can use that's really simple and easy. Not something that you need... What? I think we can just step over drummers, to be honest. Nothing's needed. Drummers are just a lost cause. So it's got to fit into my desktop. It's got to be easy to use. Those are the kind of things I was particularly interested in doing. But the other thing is, I was thinking this through, and I was thinking that's kind of the requirement. So I was also thinking the kind of platform that I'd like to see it on. And this is the platform. These are basically my list of favorite technologies. Python, love Python. Python rocks. GNOME, obviously. GStreamer. This was kind of the first different chunk. Instead of using Jack or using some other stuff, GStreamer to me made most sense. Because GStreamer is a very simple platform for creating audio applications or video applications. And it's very similar in many ways to the way we construct pipelines in a shell. I played around with GStreamer very briefly, and I didn't know anything about it. None of us did. But it just seemed like the right choice. And the community and the direction behind that community seemed the right choice to me as well. So GStreamer. And then kind of, you know, the usual kind of suspects, Cairo for doing waveforms and custom widgets, HAL and Dbus for communicating with other applications and devices. But importantly, things like Tango, the Tango project, you know, which everyone seems to be taking up. It's really important, little details like that. And finally, begrudgingly, ALSA. No one particularly likes ALSA, but we have to deal with it. And, you know, that's the way it works. So I sat down and I was thinking, you know, these are kind of the requirements, this is the platform, and I sat down with a friend of mine, Ak and LibRadio, and we were fleshing out some ideas, and we're both really interested in usability, and I made a load of mock-ups, you know. So we sat there and we questioned every minute detail, anything from the size of the buttons, because like I said to those of you who might have been in here yesterday, when you're a guitarist, you stood up with a guitar, you know, you generally bend down like this to move your mouse to set it off recording. You don't want tiny little buttons that you can't click on. You need big buttons. You know, getting rid of overlapping windows, which are in constant pain. Instead of having modal tools, having selection-based tools, which I'm going to get onto a bit later on. And so these are kind of the mock-ups. The idea is that we've got, I'll explain it in the next slide, but the idea is that we've got some cool workspaces that we work in. Because if you use something like Cubase, you have lots of overlapping windows that let you do different things. So I built all of these mock-ups, and in pure kind of Planet Gnome fashion, blogged about it, hoping that somebody would hear my cry for help. And knocked up this blog entry. Now, this is how it basically works. This is the interface, and up in that corner we've got the workspaces. In something like Cubase, you have a recording view, and then you have overlapping windows when you want to do stuff. You want to add effects, you have overlapping windows. When you want to mix things, you have overlapping windows, things like that. And it's not optimal. The other thing was having instruments instead of tracks. A track doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. Whereas if you generally know what kind of stuff you want to record. Now, I want to record a guitar or a drum kit or vocals or something. So the idea of having that, and that leads on to so many other benefits that I'll get into a bit later on. Just little things like visual indicators about what instrument you've got. Having a little image of a guitar gives you an idea of the kind of stuff that you want to do. This is knocked up in Inkscape, terrible Inkscape skills. This, incidentally, is supposed to be a waveform, but I couldn't figure out how to do a gradient fill in Inkscape. So just imagine that for a second. So a really simple and easy to use interface. We're not going for people who want to literally just press record and do nothing. This is supposed to be a comprehensive audio editor, but to really focus on simplicity. So kicked out this blog entry and forgot about it. 2 weeks passed. And some of this was being discussed on the LibRadio forums, and it was kind of discussed, the people in the community were talking about this thing called JonoEdit. Which is a terrible name. And they were talking about this thing, and there was a forum thread. And I think I'd been away somewhere, and I saw this link on this forum thread saying, we've set up a Subversion server. So I went along, and there was code in this Subversion server. And it made this. Some people wrote some code, and it threw up a window. And I was thinking, wow. You know, this is actually starting to happen. That's quite cool. So I got in touch with the guys, and I started taking an interest in this, and I started writing a few little patches. I mean, I'm a crap programmer, okay? But I started contributing because there was not enough hands in the day. And started doing all this kind of stuff. And I also set up things like a website and got some better hosting. It was being hosted on some guy's DSL-hosted machine. So we got some free hosting with Python hosting and set up a web. This website is the old website. The new one's much nicer. And just started building a community around it and building kind of some interest, blogging about it quite a lot, talking about it on LibRadio, and generally helping people to kind of be immersed in the project a little bit more. But at this point, we had a GUI, and it didn't do anything audio-related. The main reason for this is because none of us knew anything about GStreamer. We thought it was a good idea, but we never knew anything about it. You know, what the hell do you do? So we had to look at some GStreamer love. And at this point, you're thinking, well, okay, one of us is going to have to bite the bullet and learn this stuff. And I decided to bite said bullet. And GStreamer is good for a number of reasons. And the documentation is reasonably good. The community is fantastic. But there's two distinct things. Python bindings. The Python bindings in GStreamer, although they're not perfect, they're there, and they're documented. And that was important. We could instantly start writing code. And they were pretty reliable, stable, and complete. But the other main thing was this thing, GNOLIN. Anyone familiar with GNOLIN? Yeah? GStreamer guys put their hands up. GNOMLIN is a collection of GStreamer elements that allow you to make non-linear editors. So, you know, you've got a timeline, and you might have some bits and pieces on the timeline. Typically, you don't want any of this to literally disrupt your audio. So you might want to take a piece of audio, you might want to split it in half. At that point, GNOMLIN would play the same file twice, but play different chunks of the file, if you see what I mean. And GNOMLIN is some elements created by a guy called Edward Hervey to do this. When we started using it, it was bust. None of it worked. But we started working on this, and he fixed bugs, and chunks of GStreamer had lots of bugs in it, because GStreamer had not really been pushed in this kind of direction. It may have been used for kind of playback applications. But the guys in the GStreamer team were just fantastic and just fixed all of the bugs that we wanted, and we've got virtually no problems with it now. So we started using GStreamer, we started writing some code, and it started fitting together. But the real thing that we were talking a lot about in the project was rethinking the user interface, asking questions every step of the way. You know, we created these mock-ups. We created a design direction for people to move towards. And we needed to make sure that everything, we didn't just want to say, well, most audio editors do this, so therefore we should do it. It was all about questioning every single aspect, every button. You know, whether we should have one, whether we should have a play button and a pause button. Which way around this should be if we do. And we had long and drawn out usability discussions about this kind of stuff, which was really important. So this is a good example. This is actually a bad example. This is a waveform in Jacosha. This is one of my songs, a metal song. That's why it's so loud. Most audio editors have this kind of spiky thing going on. And it serves a purpose, you know, it shows a stereo representation of the audio. But for most musicians, certainly from my own perspective, I don't care about that information. It's meaningless to me. All I use the waveform for is an approximation of how loud stuff is. So we thought what would be nice is to just literally have a wavy waveform and give it a nice gradient filter that looks attractive. So that was one of the first aspects. The second thing was what we call the draw. One of the problems with most audio editors, so you know, the usual example for me is Cubase, because that's what I tend to use. If I want to split a piece of audio, let's say I want to split this, and let's say I want to take this middle chunk out, I'd need to select the select tool, select it, and then need to select the split tool. I need to split either side, then I'd need to put the arrow tool back on, click the either side, and press delete. So I'm constantly flicking between these different tool modes. And when you're doing lots of editing, it's a pain in the ass. Okay? So we have this idea of the selection box, of the draw. The idea is that when you make a selection, this thing drops down, and some buttons appear that apply to that selection, and that selection only. So you only see the tools that are actually necessary in the context that you're working in. Okay? And that means that we have less plus on the user interface, and the tools appear where it makes sense for the tools to appear. The other thing with doing volume fades, in something like Cubase, you basically have this line going across, and you plot dots in the line and move the dots up and down to plot it. And it's quite a pain. The idea behind it is not too bad, but the idea of having this line across looks horrible and it's not particularly intuitive. We were thinking, generally, if you're going to do volume fades, you're going to make a selection and you want to just tweak either side of the fade, either side of the selection. So these red bars here, you just drag them up and down, it does the volume fade for you. Little things like that. The other thing was things like, again, this is from Jacosha, this is how you deal with mixing. One of the problems, imagine you've got a project with 15 tracks on there, and you just want to mix the guitars. You'll have all of these sliders in front of you, and you might have to scroll along to get to the ones that you want to. And you've got to use your eye to kind of figure out which slider's which. And I was thinking, everybody knows how to minimize stuff. You know, we do it all the time. So the idea is that we've got these tracks here, those buttons at the top, if you want to get rid of one, you just click on the button and it drops it down into this instrument toolbar here. You want to bring those tracks back up, you just click on them and they fly back up. So it's really easy to get rid of the instruments that you're not interested in mixing at the time. So, this is the timeline. This is what's happened so far. This is the story so far. So back in February 2006, less than a year ago, well, the mock-ups went up and the first Jono edit chunk of code went up. We started building the project and we released 0.1 at Lug Radio Live 2006 in July. 0.2 we released in December. The idea behind 0.1 0.1 was fairly complete, but it didn't have volume fades because there was some stuff missing in GStreamer. In 0.2, the idea was that we put volume fades in there. At that point, you could record a podcast in Jacocia. That was the plan. And 0.2 we released. That's the current version that's out. It's available in 5D. It's available in, I think it's available for Gentoo. It's in Debian, I think. I think it's being packaged for Fedora as well. And we have a download script, so you can just download this script, and it'll check out all of the CVS GStreamer stuff and Jacocia and make everything work for you. And it won't break your system, okay? Because at the moment, we're relying on CVS GStreamer because cutting-edge stuff that hasn't been released by the GStreamer team yet. That will go away in the next couple of months as they make these releases and they're going to distro. But the plan is that in March, we're going to release 0.9. This was either going to be 0.9 or 1.0, but it looks like some of the multi-input sound card support isn't going to go in there, so it's going to be 0.9. But other than that, that will be, if you don't have a multi-input sound card, then it doesn't matter. That will be a rock-solid, stable version. 0.2 is actually stable, but we wanted to have a long period of bug fixing to get it absolutely rock-solid, because it's pointless spending all this time if you've got an application that crashes all the time. So that was the plan. So we're moving on to 0.9. And the idea with 0.9 is that it's going to be, you can record music, you can record podcasts, you can record whatever you like in there in a simple, intuitive interface. The idea is that it will basically match Audacity. It's got support for volume, it's got support for volume fade, it's got support for editing, it's got support for effects, and various other cool bits and pieces. That's the plan with 0.9. And development's running pretty quickly. If you're interested in Python, you want to come and join us, by all means, come and join us. But where it's really interesting is where we're looking ahead. At the moment, all this work has been about matching what we've, you know, what our competitors are doing, what Audacity is doing, what Ardo is doing, what Cubase is doing. And this is where picking GStreamer really makes a lot of sense. First thing, continuous save. As I mentioned, those of you who were in here yesterday, saving is a bind, and it's something we want to get away from. And we've got this idea of having a save marker. So you'll have a slider, and you'll be able to slide it along to go through your version history. Everything in Jacocia is completely undoable. That was one of the feature requirements of when we started out, unlimited undo. The idea of embeddable lyrics. You know, we've got our Jacocia file format, which is just basically a pretty simple XML file format, and the idea that you can save other bits of information in there as well. Something called mixdown profiles. This is something that we've been particularly interested in doing. When I record Lug Radio, right, I record the show, and then I edit it together, and then I have an MP3 at the end of it, a really high-quality MP3. I then send that off to Matt Revell. He then encodes it into 3 or 4 different formats with Lane. That then gets uploaded to a server, an RSS feed gets updated, some show notes get updated, and the show's released. All of that should be automated. So the idea is that we're going to have mixdown profiles, so that once you mix down something, you can kick something else into action. That might be updating an RSS feed. When I went around doing talks about podcasting, everybody said, yeah, I'm really interested in podcasting, but I don't understand how this RSS business works and the hosting side of things. It confuses me. The idea with this is that you'll have a mixdown profile called podcast, and this will be a little extension that you chuck into Jacocia, and it will just do it for you. This is planned. This is going into the next version. This is actually being coded at the moment. Because in Jacocia, we support extensions. So the idea, and I'm going to do a demo of Jacocia in a second. And we support very similar to Firefox extensions. So people can make little examples, you know, little scripts that do specific things that are interesting for them. More documentation. We've set up a documentation site and a user documentation site. So people can write documentation in the community, and we're building a community around Jacocia. So we've got some Jacocia forums, we've got a forum there so people can post finished work, the stuff that they've recorded in Jacocia, things that so other people can offer comments, general help and things like that. Building a real community around it, which I'm particularly interested in. But this is the really interesting thing. This is going to be 1.1 or 1.2 network instruments. If you want to record an interview over voice over IP, right now it's a real bodge. It's a real bodge to do it. Whereas with things like telepathy and Farsight, and the fact that we're using GStreamer, this all becomes much more easy. So the idea is that in Jacocia 1.1, you'll be able to add an instrument to your project called Internet Phone. And when you add that, you can go to the, we have a dialog box for recording inputs. And instead of listing the inputs in your sound card, you'll be able to select a contact from your buddies list. So you select a contact, and then it goes back to the main view, and then you'll be able to initiate the call. That'll call that person, and they'll start, the connection will be made, so you'll be able to talk to them. And then when you press the big red recording button, it'll record the call in sync with the people who are in the studio with you. This is all technically possible. And this is going to be one of the first major uses of kind of like the telepathy, far-flight kind of stuff. And the fact that we're using G-Stream makes all of this possible as well. So the idea is that you'll be able to host conversations with other people directly inside your Jacocia. The other thing that we're going to be working on is the idea of batch processing. So like if David Mabey had a Jacocia running, I could record a track, I could get our Jacocias to talk to each other. So I could record a track, a guitar track. When I finish recording it, I could press a button. It'll send that data to David. It'll sync our two Jacocias together. Then he could maybe record his bass line. And then he'd press the button, he would sync our two together and send me it. So that means that we can collaborate on music without having to resort to recording over the internet, which always has loads of latency. So the plan is that it's not just a singular tool, it's going to be a collaborative tool that lots of people work on. So, that's pretty much it. Do you want to see a demo?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now hopefully this is going to work. Okay. Now, my laptop's playing up, and it's so the resolution's crap, okay? So this window is nowhere near as big as this. It won't be nowhere near as big as this on your system. So first of all, let's create a new project. Each time we release Jacocia, we have a new open source musician in the new project dialog box. The first time we had the legendary J5 from the GNOME community, and we put him in there. And this is a guy called Brad Sucks, who does actually suck. Okay. Anyone want to suggest a comedy project name?
Crap.
Okay, so this is the Jacocia window. Just ignore that. Okay. So this is the Jacocia window, which won't fit on the screen fully. We've got little zoom buttons in the corner, little zoom slider. And as you hover over bits and pieces, I'll add an instrument first. So let's first of all add an instrument. So first jobs first, there's lots of different instruments supported by Jacocia. So can you guys see this? Am I in the way? So these are the different instruments that we've got so far. And these are easy to add. It's basically an icon and a little text file saying what it is. But with that information, we can associate lots of things with those instruments. So let's say I'm going to add an audio file. So this adds an instrument to my audio file. And then in here, I'm going to import something. So right-click and then import. Now, while this is important that you can play it. That's right. Feel the metal. Okay, so while that's playing, so I'm going to play it again, and then I'll show these two. So, you can see the waveform there, which is zooming in and out. Then we can switch between these two different modes. So this is recording mode. This is where you tend to do most of the recording. You see it recording as it's going along. And then you can go to mixing mode. Pretty loud. Look at that. Oh! Okay. So this is... Right, the volume code then recently gone in, but there's a little bug there. So yeah, you can adjust the volume code. Get a bit check it out. Okay, so that's how that works. Now if I go back to the recording view, I'm going to do some splitting. So splitting should be really easy. I mean, chopping things in half should be double-clicking, okay? There we go. Ignore that bug. This is trunk, by the way, so there's bugs in here that you won't see in the final version. So If I chop this a few times. Okay. Undo. Control Z. Okay, so. Okay, now if we want to do some volume fades as an example, this is where the selection stuff. So if I just move the window up, everything that you do, because knowing to double click to split something isn't particularly intuitive. No one just thinks that. No one knows how to do the selection. We've latched onto Higgs guidelines, but whenever you hover over something, you see these little tooltips in the bottom. I don't know if you can see it. So everything all over Jocosha are these little tooltips. So if I do a selection here, okay, and then here we've got some tools. So the thing on the left-hand side is trimming. So when you trim something, this might break. So that trims just that chunk out. It's moved it over, but it shouldn't do that, so we'll fix that. Okay. Now, what you can do is you can drag these faders down, and this is where you do your volume fade. Okay, so. And then you can do things like, if you make a selection, actually, let's do these two here, and then press this little button, it'll just snap the things to the side so you can adjust those if you want to. This will actually remove the fade points for you. We are going to make it so you can click on these fade points and drag them up and down at some point. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to delete that, just add an acoustic guitar instrument. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to import another song. Luckily, this isn't metal, so don't be scared. You see? Not metal. So I'm dead. Written about two suffering. Let me move this down a little bit. I'm just going to wait for that to finish loading it in. What's that? What?
What's the resolution we're talking about?
Oh, it depends on how zoomed you are. So we've got, like, if you double click this, you can see, like, this is it in seconds.
You get down to the sample rate, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to show you here, first of all, this is just a normal thing for the audio, okay? This is just an acoustic guitar. This is the reason why I put it on the acoustic guitar set. This is actually a full song, but I haven't got just acoustic guitar. So I'm going to add some audio effects. So if I click this button, this is the dialogue pops up. This is actually being redesigned. And then one idea that we've got is that presets are important, you know, collections of effects. So I'm going to select a preset here called Abstract, and it adds these effects, okay? Now, the idea is that there's three effects here, and I only want to show presets for that instrument. I would never use a preset designed for a metal guitar on an acoustic guitar. It would sound crap. So the idea is that because we know what kind of instruments we're recording, we can therefore only show the relevant presets for that specific instrument. So the grand plan is that when you create a new project, you might say, I want to record a metal song. It'll add two guitars, a bass guitar, and a drum kit, and a vocal. And it'll automatically apply the relevant metal presets to those guitars. So we automatically make life easier for the user. So now we've added that effect, and it sounds like this. That's quite cool. Now each of these things, I can double click and I get the various settings. Let me turn it on. You can program with different settings, and then you can just delete each of these if you want to. Don't press that one. Okay? So that's the way that the effects kind of things work. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you extensions. That's just a bit of corruption there. Now, have we got internet access here?
Yeah.
Dot. Okay. We've got this idea of extensions. We've got an extensions API where anybody with a little bit of Python can write things that plug into Jacocia. And the one thing that I always wanted to see, the kind of my own inspiration behind the extensions API, was to import stuff really easily. There's a big archive of Creative Commons content called Freesound. So if you click on the extensions, these are some of the extensions that we've got. So I'll show you Freesound first. So here we just have a little dialog box. This is not finished, by the way. The UI needs cleaning up, so it will be better than this. Let's say I do a search for growl. So this is searching, this is using the Freesound API, and it's searching that site, and it brings back some data. It's normally a lot quicker because the network's generally a bit quicker. Okay, just wait for a little while for it to do. One of the problems we've got with this is that the UI is blocking at the moment, so it's a bit slow. I don't know why I'm looking up there when it's here. Da-dun-dun. So you can click on these play buttons if you want to preview it, and that will stream it directly from Freesound. So we've got all of these different things. Bruno the Rottweiler growling with love and affection. Okay, so to get onto Jacocia, you literally just grab it and drop it in there. Now what that's doing, as it takes 3 hours to do it, again, this is much quicker when you've got your own internet connection. And not everyone's trying to update their Debian system at the same time. when you drag this over, this is going to the site and it's downloaded in the background, and then it's going to create an event and drop it into Jacocia. Yeah. So let's get rid of that. So there we are. Doesn't sound like a work well. Okay. Interesting. So getting stuff in is really simple, you know. So another extension that we saw, for example, if I delete that, if I import another track, let's think of something nasty. You might want to block it. Look at that. I'm not very good at mastering, it has to be said. The only reason why I use my own music is because I know it works. I'm not on an ego trip, I assure you. Not most of the time, anyway. So. Oh! Okay, let's quietly step over that. This is what happened. I'm amazed it hung together as long as it has. Okay, so let's load up crap again. I didn't save it. See? Continuous save. So let's bring that back in. Okay. Bit of lighting. Quite slow. This is the song I recorded fairly recently. You've got this kind of you've got this stop kind of BPM thing running. Now this here is a quick track. A little bit quick. Okay? And you can set the BPM to the wow. Okay, I think it doesn't like my song. Okay, I'm gonna try a different song and a different project. Okay, let's try the lake again. I know this one works. Now, matching up click tracks is always difficult, so a guy wrote an extension called Set Tempo. And you play it, and you tap this little button to get the tempo. Now, this might not line up exactly, but. I need to probably move the wave over a little bit, and I've split it there. But it kind of, it gives you an example of the kind of stuff that the extension API is useful for. People can write these little things. A guy's writing a guitar tuner, and little things that kind of fit into it. So, I think, I think I'm pretty much done. I think I've got 10 minutes left. Any questions? Okay. Does what?
The sound work yet?
Check it out. Yep, sound works. If you want to test it, there's the download script, particularly if you're Ubuntu users. There's a script which you can download and literally just download it, run it. It'll check out CBSG Streaming that works. It'll check out Jocosha 0.2. And then when you run the script again, it'll run Jocosha and everything will work. And then send us your feedback. Dude. Multi-channel sound card support is not ready yet.
Not sound card, but actually the track support via the multi-channel stereo
cable. All right, yeah, that's not in there yet. Everything right now is treated just on a per instrument kind of level. Any other questions?
MIDI.
This is something we definitely want to bring in. But it's a tough problem because there's different views as to whether that should sit inside the GStreamer project or not. If GStreamer, this is a hint, guys, if GStreamer supports MIDI, then it's easy. I can send you a keyboard, like a little Bontempi keyboard thing. But it would be nice to have MIDI support. Particularly, I mean, a lot of people used to use it to create really crappy kind of music, like general MIDI, but I mean, I mainly use it for triggering drums. Like, the drumming that you heard is me playing the drums, and then sometimes moving, like, the drums over when I've just gone out a little bit. And it'd be nice to have that in Jocosha. Yeah, you look very keen to ask a question.
One of your original requirements was authenticity. Obviously, as you're going through the development process, you're adding more features. How are you going to manage that as your development community grows and wants to get more excited as well as the user community, and trying to keep it back, or keep that original requirement?
I mean, the idea is that everything, the idea behind Jocosha is to always base everything around usability. Make it as, I mean, usability is a very generic word that, as I said yesterday, encompasses so many different things. But the idea is that so long as it fits the direction is we never want to pester the user for more than absolutely necessary. So every design decision about stuff that goes into Jocosha is rigorously debated. And so long as we maintain that ethos, the thing is, the one thing that I think has been successful, I mean, we've gone from nothing to what you've just seen in less than a year, with about 4 developers. And I think the one thing that's helped with that is the fact that we've set a direction, we've set a design direction, we've said this is what we want to do. And the kind of people who've got involved in the project have shared that design direction. So I don't think it's going to be so much of an issue. I think we're going to hit a point where it's going to be difficult, like every open source project. But I think we've got a nice firm foundation for that. And we've got good community leaders in different parts of the project to help kind of make sure that people stay on the straight and narrow.
And I guess just to follow on, are you using like a benevolent dictator model or a egalitarian, everyone gets a vote?
He's the dictator, he's not benevolent.
I say screw the peasant. it's definitely a team effort. One of the most frustrating things about Jocosha is the fact that a lot of people think it's just my project, and it isn't. It's a team project. It involves a lot of people. And chief blogger. I mean, I wrote chunks of code in Jocosha and mainly work on the community side of things, but most of the code is written by a guy called Laszlo, who is a phenomenal developer. And it's very much a team effort. It's like most open source projects. If someone wants to add something and it gets the backing of kind of the main leaders in the project, then it goes in. When we decided features for 0.2 and 0.9, we had an IRC meeting and we all just fleshed it out. And some things, if someone really wanted something and other people didn't, then it was just either delayed for further discussion. So it's very much an open process. Yep?
Do you use Python for the GUI
as well? Yes, Python's used for everything. It's nice because Python's used for all the GUI, and then obviously GStream is written in C, so all the heavy lifting is done in C. It's a really nice thing. Yep?
You're
Does anyone have a real question?
What?
I don't know if you told you might want to check it out. Yeah.
Okay, next year. No? Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah.
About those soothing tracks you played for us earlier, forgive me if you've already answered this question, but did you actually produce those in Jakosha, and if not, when would you feel comfortable using Jakosha in your field?
No, I didn't produce them in Jakosha. Everything I do in my studio is done in Cubase at the moment. The reason is that as soon as we get multi-track support, multi-sound card support into Jakosha, then I'll be switching my Mac. I run a G5, dual processor G5, with various chunks split into it, and like a control surface that this guy is about to write drivers for. The idea is that as soon as my multi-channel sound card is supported, then I'm going to Jakosha. But until that's working, I can't move to it. That's currently being hacked on at the moment by a guy called Michael Sheldon. And he's kind of the only guy on the Jakosha team who has poked around with writing GStreamer elements. So he's one of them at the back. He's trying to be one of them at the back, and he's having some problems. But these are all quirks that are going to be rolled out. He's talking with the GStreamer guys a lot. So once that's fixed, and that'll be able to be used by like lots of applications as well, then I'll be recording all my stuff in Jakosha and Lug Radio in Jakosha.
Can you explain how Pulse Audio and Jet and Ulster and all these things are different from GStreamer?
Well, GStreamer allows you to hook up to various different things. So, for example, in Jakosha right now, you'll have an Ulster input and an Ulster output. You could have Jack inputs and Jack outputs. And interestingly, Paul Davis, the guy who's behind Jack and Ardor, has been working on, I think he's been working on some GStreamer elements for Jack support. Because it was available, I think this was GStreamer 0.8, but it languished and no one really used it. And that, I think him and Wim have kind of rejuvenated that. So the good thing about Jack is that he can string together applications. So he could have like the drum bits and pieces in Hydrogen, and then he can put that into Ardo. That's one of the nice things about Jack. And we want to have that support in Jakosha. So when those elements are happy, then we can plug it into Jakosha. Pulse Audio is something that fits more at the sound card level. And the idea is that, like Pulse Audio in some way, will everything will interface to it. So Jakosha, this is like past Jakosha at this point. And it's complex. I mean, we had like a discussion about it, the Ubuntu developers, but I'm still in this band. Quite everything fits together. Any other questions? Yes?
What happens if you go to Greg Aspect when you think you made a service to change to that point?
Good question. Don't know. I mean, we've just had like an atomic unleash some days, but I've not been involved in it. So I'm not entirely sure. I mean, yeah, when you've got branches in the kind of the new path, you mean? I'm assuming it goes back to the branch that is in the tree. But I've no idea, to be honest. I'll have to test it.
You know how you could drag samples from Freesound to your project? Can you go the other way?
No, that's what we'd like to do. Cool. But Freesound don't allow you to do that at the moment. But we'd love to do that. Because, I mean, it's things like, I'd love to see extensions, so, like little things like uploading to things like Freesound and collaborating together. And part of the reason we have the extensions API is that we'd like people to write loads of crack that they test out, and then much of that's merged into Jakosha. We started out with the extensions API by providing things that we needed to do to write the extensions that we've got here. And then if somebody else is working on extensions, something's missing, then we just add it to the API. So if you want to write extensions, go ahead. It's all documented. We've got I'm going to finish in a second, but we've got like a website. User docs. I don't know if my internet connection does, but I'll show you. So, this is the Jakosha website, much nicer than the thing I showed you earlier on. We've got community here. We've also got a thing called user docs. And this is like an open wiki. You can register an account in it. So, for example, we've got an installation section. And there's different guides for different systems, so for example, Jakosha and Gentoo. And someone went on there and wrote this and goes through the details of how to get it working. I think it's a community problem. We don't want to just rely on us to write documentation. So in the extension side, this is very new, so it's not massively fleshed out. But we've got a little write an extension tutorial written by Ack. And then we've got the API reference. And this is the API right now. And you can click on that and you can see detail. So the idea is that we'd like people to write extensions to flesh it out and, you know, do cool stuff. Any other questions? Nope. Thank you very much.